The title of the message today is God Knows Best. God knows best. I know sometimes we've questioned God. I know I have. And say, why God? That doesn't make sense in my mind. And of course, God's ways are not my ways. They're higher than my ways. His thoughts are higher than my thoughts. But by the Spirit of the Lord, He's given us the mind of Christ, so we can know the things that are freely given to us. But there are secret things that belong to the Lord, and the Lord will let us in on some secrets. And you know who He really shares His secrets with? His friends. People that are friends of God, that are acquainted with Him, that walk with Him, that enjoy Him. Amen? And so, God knows best, doesn't He? I mean, there's been times that we've just said, Lord, why this? Why that? It doesn't seem to make sense to me. And you know what? Some things are not going to make sense to us, period, in this world. But it's not about having all the answers. It's not about being able to figure everything out. It's about coming to a place of rest in your spirit, to where you cease from your striving with your Maker, where you cease from complaining, belly aching, fretting, having to have all the answers. You get to the place because of your relationship and your communion with Him in the Spirit, where you know His heart, and you know His heart is good. Even when your mind, your intellect can't figure it out, you still trust God's heart. When you know somebody and you know they are a person of integrity, for example, it doesn't matter what somebody says about them. If you really know that person, you say, that's not the Joe I know. That's not the person I know, because I am personally acquainted with that individual, and I know they wouldn't do that. You may accuse them of something, and the enemy is the accuser, and he also falsifies things. He lies about people, doesn't he? And we have to be very careful that we don't pick up stuff. I don't know about you, but there's been times when somebody has said something to me about somebody, and it was really hard to shake it. I had no facts to back it up. It was only an accusation. And it can even change the way you see that person without even having a court hearing or figuring out what really went on. Just the fact that somebody said something about somebody to you that was negative about that person, you can pick that up and it can change your whole perspective about that person without having any proof that there's any truth to it. And this is what the devil does. He sows discord among brethren. He sows those seeds. All it takes sometimes is one seed, one bad seed to get in. And it can start to cause division. So the enemy messes with us, even when it comes to our Father in heaven, our Father's heart towards us. He tries to accuse God. He tries to get us to believe that somehow God is not good. So if we believe that, we take the bait. We do what Eve did in the garden, amen? And what Adam did. God's not good. He's holding out on you. So I can't trust God, so therefore I'm going to just do it my way. Because somehow the devil can convince mankind that he's smarter than God. And think that somehow I've got a better idea, God. I know what your word says, but in my opinion, how many here have an opinion, right? How many here can trust your opinion every time? No. An opinion is not necessarily factual, is it? How many here had a say in how and where you would be born and how you would look and what talents and abilities you'd possess? How many here had a little agreement before you were born with God and said, God, I think I would like to have this talent and I'd like to have that earth suit with that color arrangement and those eyes and that nose or whatever? See, none of us had any say in that. Why? Because God decided that we would be who we are. And God says, I like variety. Amen? And so we just got to get over some of this stupid stuff that, you know, somehow I'm a superior being based upon my human characteristics or even my talents and abilities. Because if you think about it, some people pride themselves on their abilities, on their talents, whether they are maybe a good musician. And I find, being a musician myself and being around musicians, that there's a lot of arrogance, right, among musicians, where they are just kind of like stuck up, or they think that they're better than you, or they're competing with you all the time. You're their competition. I hate going to music stores sometimes because a lot of those guys in there, they're just stuck on themselves, you know? Some of you know what I'm talking about. Have you been in? And anyways, listen, none of us gave ourselves the talent. God gave it to you. What is it that you have that you didn't receive? Come on, somebody has the answer. What is it? Nothing, right? I don't have anything that I didn't receive. Even if I was educated, somebody had to teach me. It wasn't of me, it was from another source. And even what I possess within me is something that God invested in me with the responsibility of being a good steward over that investment. Naturally, we've been given gifts and talents. But when you are born of God's Spirit and the Spirit of Christ comes to dwell within you, He turns the natural into supernatural. Amen? So He overshadows your natural with His super, and you become supernatural. And so He'll then take the gifts and the talents and the abilities that He's already put within you, and He'll supersize them, if you will. So when we don't understand something, we have to come to the place where we realize that, wait a minute, who am I in comparison to the Creator of all? Who am I in comparison to this great being who spoke the cosmos into existence? Who said, let there be light? I think in our humanity, we can become very arrogant sometimes. And thinking that sometimes it's really of me and not of God. So God wants a people that are humble, because He can't trust proud people. And having a proper perspective of God, who He is, and who we are, can help keep us in perspective so that we will remain in a place of humility in our understanding and our thinking, and realizing that even though God may use me and God may do supernatural things through my life, I'm simply a clay jar. I'm just a vessel. And we have this treasure in an earthen vessel. But the awesome thing is that God allows us to partner with Him and work with Him, amen, and be a part of what He's doing. And God is saying, I'm going to give you an opportunity also to store up for yourself treasure in heaven. Psalms 139:13. I'm going to read this. It's from the New Living Translation. You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was born. Isn't that interesting? God saw us before we were born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Wow. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. I think God's got it together. I think God's got the whole world in His hands. I think God can handle little old you and me and our problems. Amen? How many know that God does not have to do things our way? Why is that? Because He's God. Because He's the Creator and we're the creation. And how arrogant for the creation to speak out against the Creator and say, why did you make me this way? Romans 9:20, oh, but indeed, O man, who are you to reply against God? Will the thing formed say to him who formed it, why have you made me like this? I don't know about you, but there's things that probably most of us would agree, there's something maybe in your body that you don't like, a feature on your face or whatever it might be, something that you'd rather have a different feature than what you've got. How many here have ever felt that way? Just a show of hands. The rest of you we're going to pray for in just a moment. But God wants us to get to a place, though, amen? I know we've all thought that. Not necessarily that you think that now. But we need to come to a place where we say, you know what? God made me the way I am, with all my quirks, all that stuff, amen? It's who I am. God made me. So why should I complain about something, amen, that I had nothing to do with in the first place, that God decided He wanted me to look like this, amen? He was going to give me these abilities, these talents. So why should I fret over those things that I have no control over? Why don't I just embrace the fact that I am who I am in Christ, a new creation in Him, amen, and that God knows what He's doing. God knew what He was doing when He made you and I. And each one of us have something that God has invested in us that is precious, amen, that needs to be invested in others. He doesn't want us to be a stagnant pool. He wants us to be a flowing stream, amen, a river of life flowing out of our hearts, the Spirit of God working through our lives as He supernaturalizes us, amen, and works out of our being to touch and to change situations around us as we prophesy to the dry bones. Live, amen, as we lay hands on the sick and they recover. As God says, go and preach the gospel. The words I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. They have produced life in the hearer, amen. As we align ourselves and agree with the Spirit of God and speak the things that He's speaking and do the things that He's doing, there will be change. There will be transformation. There will be life. God wants you and I to partner with Him. And you don't have to have all the answers. It's okay. I am in a place in my life where I'm in rest now. I don't have to have all the answers. Amen. I don't have to have all the answers about why things happen. I say, okay, God decided it's time to go. Okay, God decided it's time for a change. I know we get so predictable. We like it. We get into a certain place in our lives where everything is just smooth and happening and predictable. We say, God, just don't mess with me. Leave me alone right here. God knows what He's doing. He knows that change is important. It's necessary for us to grow. When you're growing up and you start having growing pains, amen? In my family, we're kind of late bloomers, but we grew up like in a year. We just shot up really fast, you know? And talk about, man, when you grow really fast like that, you go through some serious changes in a short amount of time. And it's awkward. We all know what it is, right, to have those growing pains as you're growing up and things are changing, your body's changing, you becoming an adult, you know. It's not always easy. And then as you get into certain times of your life, you start to become a teenager. Now you're starting to deal with different types of problems and different types of people and personalities and different types of temptations and all those things that you deal with as you're growing up. You know, sometimes people decide, I just want to remain a babe. You know, I'm a Toys R Us kid. Amen. I don't want to grow up. But guess what? You've got to grow up sometime. You've got to wake up and grow up. Amen? God wants maturity because He wants fruitfulness, and only adults are able to reproduce. So we've got to grow up. Amen? Part the mustache and pull the bottle out. The Amplified says it this way, Romans 9:20. But who are you, a mere man, to criticize and contradict and answer back to God? Will that, what is formed, say to him that formed it, why have you made me thus? God often does things differently than we would. If I were God, but you're not. So get over it, amen? And know that I think the Creator may be a little smarter than I am. Maybe a little? He certainly is smarter than we are. He knows better. And regardless of how things appear, God always knows what's best. He knows the future as well as the past. He knows the number of our days. Jesus, who was God in the flesh, God incarnate, offended people because he didn't do things the way they thought he should. He didn't say things the way they thought he should. I wonder how Peter felt when he got commended from the Lord about his revelation of who Jesus was, that he was the Christ, the Son of the living God. Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed that to you, but my Father in heaven. And the next thing you know, Peter's interfering with the will of God. He started to get cocky, I assume. But even in his humanity, he probably thought he was doing Jesus a favor, because when Jesus talked about going to the cross, he was like, oh no, Lord, nobody's going to touch you. He tried to step in and interfere with the plan of God. And Jesus turned around and rebuked Peter, and what did he call him? That's pretty strong language, adversary. He wasn't esteeming the things of God. He didn't understand the mind of God. See, a lot of times we function in the earthly realm from earthly understanding. And earthly understanding says suffering is not good. All suffering is bad. But even as we grow and mature in our physical bodies, there's pain involved in that. But it's necessary for maturity. So it is in our Christian walk, there's pain in the offering. There's times that we're going to suffer things because God wants maturity. God wants a user-friendly people. He wants somebody that's not going to fall apart under a little pressure. Amen? God wants to raise up, amen, leadership in his body. He wants to raise up fathers in the faith. And so we can't remain babes. We have to go through the transition, and we have to be patient with the babes. We have to be patient in the process, even with the teenagers, understanding that you and I were once teenagers in the faith too. And maybe we still are. I know there's room for growth in my life. How about you? When Jesus was informed that Lazarus was sick, there's another example of that. In John 11:6, so when he heard that he was sick, he dropped everything and immediately ran. It says that he stayed, what? 2 more days in the place where he was. You see, in our humanity, we're probably thinking, well, if I were Jesus, I would have stopped everything right there and I would respond to the need. You know, sometimes you're not helping people by helping them, by responding to their needs. Sometimes you're enabling them to continue to be a child. Sometimes you've got to let Johnny cry himself to bed, amen, to sleep. Instead of coddling, every time he whimpers, you grab him and you pick him up. Guess what? Now you've spoiled him, and now he has an expectation that every time I whimper, somebody's going to come running and I'm going to get my way. And if you don't, well, I'll just turn up the decibels a little bit. That's about the time you got to take the Board of Education to the seat of understanding and have a little attitude, had a little talk. A little attitude adjustment, right? Luke 7:19. This is when John the Baptist was in jail. And John, calling two of his disciples to him, sent them to Jesus, saying, are you the coming one, or do we look for another? When the men had come to him, they said, John the Baptist has sent us to you, saying, are you the coming one, or do we look for another one, or for another? Now remember, John was the one who declared what about Jesus? Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. And John was an instrument in the hands of the Lord. John was doing the will of God. John was faithful to that task. Amen. And now he finds himself in prison and awaiting execution. And he's sending out a courier and say, ask Jesus, is he the one? Or are we looking for another one? I don't know about you. I may be saying the same thing. Why am I sitting here? What good could come out of this? Have you ever been there? Find yourself in a place yet you would have never put yourself? And saying, why am I here? What good can possibly come out of this scenario, this situation? In that very hour, it says, he cured, verse 21, many of infirmities, afflictions, and evil spirits, and to many blind he gave sight. And Jesus answered and said to them, go and tell John the things you have seen and heard, that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the poor have the gospel preached to them. And listen, I love this, verse 23, and blessed is he who is not offended because of me. Folks, I talk to people all the time that are mad at God because they don't know God. Let me just say this, and I may get some flack for this, but I'm going to say it anyways because I feel the Lord wants me to say it. People who get mad at God don't know God. They don't know his heart. They may have theology. They may have Bible knowledge. They may know about God. But people that get mad at God don't understand God. So they don't really know God like they should. I heard a story about a pastor who had a little child that ran out in the street and got run over right in front of him. And I know everybody's going to react a different way to things that happen in life, but he ran out to that child and he picked it up. It was a little girl, I believe, and he picked her up and he said, Father, thank you for allowing me to have this child. And you know, our children, they belong to the Lord. We belong to the Lord. Everything that I have belongs to the Lord. And he had to know the heart of God to be able to do such a thing and know that it was God that had allowed that to happen. God could at any time have stopped that. Has God not promised his angels charge concerning us? Why should we live our lives in fear? Why should we live our lives in worry? Some people will get fearful. Now they're afraid to drive on the street because something happened to somebody. There was an accident. Now they're just afraid. I don't know if I want to go driving anywhere because something could happen to me. How many know that that's not God's heart for us? Amen? God doesn't want us to live in fear. God wants us to live in full confidence that God is with me, God is for me, he's not against me, that God will take care of me, God will protect me, and if God decides that it's for me, it's my time to go home, he's going to take me. Amen? And nobody's going to stop that. And any time God can call his angelic hosts, amen, to come to our rescue, to come to our aid, and he often does, and I think when we get to heaven, we're probably going to see all the times when God had intervened, amen, even when we were doing something stupid, and God in his mercy sent, amen, a messenger to help us. So do we get offended, guys, when God doesn't do things the way we think he should? This is really a sign of maturity, is when we can be okay with the unknown. We can be okay with the mysteries. We can be okay with things that we don't understand. Because when you are acquainted with the Lord and you know the Lord's heart, you know the Lord's heart is good. And you can trust him and know he's the author of life. None of us decided when, how we'd be born, where, what attributes we'd have. God decided all that. So he's the author of life. Amen. And he's the one to whom everyone will kneel someday. And confess to someday. There's coming a day, isn't there? Every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess Jesus Christ is Lord. Look at Malachi's day. There's nothing new under the sun. Malachi 3:13. You have said terrible things about me, says the Lord. But you say, what do you mean? What have we said against you? You have said, what's the use of serving God? What have we gained by obeying his commands or by trying to show the Lord of heaven's armies that we are sorry for our sins? From now on, we will call the arrogant blessed. For those who do evil get rich, and those who dare God to punish them suffer no harm. I think about sometimes these comedians and some of the stuff, the filth. Don't recommend listening to them, but I have tuned into a few, and I've just kind of heard a few things, and I was like, whoa. The arrogance and the blasphemous things that they say, even against the Almighty God. And you're thinking at any moment, you're thinking a lightning bolt is going to come down and take them out. And you know, all I can say is that God is merciful. God is merciful. And God is not willing that anyone should perish. And God puts up with a lot of stuff, doesn't He? Praise God for that. Thank Him for that. But the people in Malachi's day, they were saying, listen, those who rebel against you, those who don't obey you, they seem to have it all together. They seem to be doing better than people who do. What were they doing? They were comparing themselves to somebody else. They were not understanding that God has a unique cup that fits your life. That cup represents your call, your mission, your purpose for which you were created. Amen? God gives each one of us a different cup to drink in this life. The question is, are we going to cooperate with God in that and be willing to drink the cup that He gives us without complaining? Are we willing to find ourselves even in a desert place, in the wilderness, in a place we've never been before, where all of a sudden everything that I held dear and everything that I was comfortable with and familiar with is no longer there? There's no longer any artificial security blankets for me. I'm in a new place. I've never been here before, and I don't know how I'm going to get through this situation. What am I going to do? Well, this is where you have to say, I'm going to call on God. I'm going to trust God. My God will help me through this. And quit comparing yourself to somebody else, because everybody has a different cup to drink. Sometimes people have a lot of physical problems. They're constantly having health problems. But some of those people with the physical problems have some of the greatest faith. And I'm not saying it's always God's will for people to be sick and all that. God can heal. We know that God does heal. Amen? He heals today. He's a miracle-working God. He can open blind eyes today, deaf ears. Amen? He can raise the dead today. But sometimes we have to go through something in order to become something. We have to suffer something so that we can mature and grow up and learn how to trust the Lord and get into a place where we're no longer fretting and striving with our Maker. We're in a place now where I'm going to rest in God and believe that God has this. God is with me. He's for me. He promised to never leave me or forsake me. And my God's going to get me through this valley. And when I walk through the waters, they will not overflow me. Amen? Hallelujah. God is for us. And sometimes, guys, the safest place to be is in the fire. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego met Jesus in the fire. God's will for you may be different than it is for me, but God knows the product. He knows what works for us. He knows what it's going to take to bring maturity from His people. Why? Because the Father is looking for fruitfulness from His people. He wants us to grow up. Amen? And when you become a mature adult, you quit complaining about everything. I got to get up and go to work again today. You just tough it up, you say, I got to go to work today. Or I get to go to work today. Yeah, praise God, I got a job. Amen. Yeah. See, many of the people were offended at God because they saw the wicked prospering. And many of the righteous struggling. I look sometimes at our political system, how messed up it is. And we got these people that think they know how to spend your money better than you do. Who live in mansions. And they're always so concerned about the poor. Well, are you going to open the door for the poor? What are you doing if you're sitting on your millions of dollars? Who are you helping? Well, don't worry about what I'm doing over here. Watch the hand over here. Just give me your money. I'll spend it better than you can. But we look at people prospering who are wicked. What do? Pray for them. How many know God doesn't want us fretting over those people? God wants you to understand something. It's not going to be forever. There is a season to everything under the sun, amen? There's a season. And even for the wicked, they're going to prosper for a season. But how many know that the best treasure is the treasure that we have in heaven, amen? Amen. Because we live for God. And you can never outgive God. You give, God takes care of you. You give your life. It's about your heart. Because the popular theology today, sometimes even the church, is that you can have it all now. How many know what I'm talking about? And then they'll look down at you and say, well, you must have no faith, brother. Because you're not driving a Cadillac or like I am. You're not wearing the best suits like I am, so you must not have any faith. How many know that God didn't die on that cross? Jesus didn't die on that cross, amen, just to give you stuff. It's not about just giving you stuff. It's about saving our wretched souls, amen, from destruction. A certain devil's hell that is eternal, that you can never escape from. And the only hope is to run into the arms of Jesus Christ and say, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. I repent. I turn away from my selfishness and from my wayward actions, God. And I come to you and I ask you, God, to save me, to sanctify me, to fill me with your Holy Spirit, to raise me up, God, and to allow me to partner with you. Lord, what can I do for you? You did so much for me. You suffered and died for me. How can I live for you now? I repent. I turn away from self to you. Instead of it all being self-centered and man-centered, there's a man-centered gospel today, you know? It's all about you. How about all about you, Jesus? Amen? Well, that's the popular theology. Psalms 37:1, I love this. It says, do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity. There it is. Why? Verse 7 says, rest in the Lord. That means, rest means to stop, stand still, or quiet yourself. Cease your fretting, complaining. Sometimes you see what's going on in the political system, you just start complaining about it, right? Fretting about it. And what the word says to stop that, rest in the Lord, stand still, quiet yourself, and then wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Cease from anger, forsake wrath. Do not fret, it only causes harm. How many receive this word today? How many think there needs to be some adjustments in our attitudes? Okay. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait or look patiently on the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall be no more. Indeed, you will look carefully for his place, but it shall be no more. But the meek, the humble, or the saintly, those who submit themselves to God, place themselves under his authority, rest in him, stand still, amen, stand firm in the faith, keeping their eyes on the Lord, knowing that God in his time is going to work things out for our good. He's going to work it together. Those who rest in the Lord, they're the ones that are going to inherit the promises of God. Even the earth, it says. And shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. Now that's prosperity. Abundance of peace. How many got peace in your heart today? Because payday is coming, guys. For the faithful. Psalms 37:7, once again it says, rest in the Lord. And wait patiently for him. So don't allow yourself to fret. Or be angry while you're waiting on God to intervene in your situation. Find rest for your soul in the Lord's presence. You know, I was feeling kind of heavy this morning, and so was Chuck. He was beat up from the week. It's been a really rough week for a lot of us. with the loss and things that have been going on. And so I said, let's just pray. And we were in his in my office back there. And we prayed. And you know, as soon as we prayed, that God just did something right. He just took that burden right off and just released his divine energy into us and gave us a... Amen? It's just right away. It's like, boom, just a prayer of agreement with another brother or sister. Wait patiently for the Lord because he's going to come through. You don't know when, but he will, I trust. And stop fretting about your situation. I find that people that fret about their situation always gets worse. People that are fretting and complaining breed that spirit of contention. And it's no different. I can remember, I used this illustration before, but working on a car. Now, I'm one of those guys that I can figure it out, but after broken knuckles and cuts and, and sweat, and then finally it clicks. And so I can remember working on my car before, and I was just having a time. How many been there? Just wasn't working out the way you... Oh, 5-minute job, right? Turns into 3 hours of headache. And I find that the more that I fret... And the more that I complain, and the more that I start saying some strange tongue come out of my mouth about the situation, that the worse it gets. And it's like the devil's there just clapping and rejoicing because he's got your goat, if you will. He's got you all worked up and you're stressing out over the situation. How many know the best thing to do sometimes when you're starting to get yourself stressed out like that is just stop. Get into rest. Say, okay, stop. Step away from the car. Rest in God. And just say, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for that. Lord, please help me right now with this. Take a deep breath. Okay, Lord, I'm asking you to give me wisdom. Give me the strength to deal with this. And then approach it from a different perspective. Then come back at it. And it's amazing. And all of a sudden, boop, it just goes right into place. So what is God saying? It only does harm when we fret. When we complain. When we bellyache. When we go through things we don't understand. We got to be so careful not to get caught up in the complaining. And the bellyaching. Amen? That's what grieved the Spirit of God in the wilderness with his people. When they started to grumble and complain in the wilderness. Because they didn't think God was fair. God was good. They had forgotten what God had done for them so quickly. In their deliverance. Trust the Lord. And he's going to bless you in his time. This is all something so important for us, isn't it? Timing is everything. You've heard it. Ecclesiastes 3:11 says he has made everything beautiful in its time. Everything beautiful in its time. Sometimes when we look at our rose bushes, we got some rose bushes out by the house. Man, they're beautiful. They're blooming. They're just going at it, And all of a sudden, next thing you know, this thing is starting to wilt and the petals are flying off and it's starting to look kind of ugly. And the bugs are having a banquet, You just deal with those things. Maybe you need to do some pruning. You maybe take a little TLC to the plant, right? And understand that there's a season for everything, but there will be... a new season. There's going to be budding again. There's going to be blooms again. Amen. In its time. So and quit complaining about what you're seeing at the moment. And trust God that he's going to work all things together for your good. Amen. Because you are his people. You've been called. Amen. Of God. So if you are his planting. You are his trees. He's going to take care of that tree. He's going to make sure it's nurtured, it's watered, amen? It's going to receive the right amount of sunshine. And how many know that too much of anything is not good? If you give a plant too much water, it can rot the roots. If you give a plant too much sun and not enough water, it can dry up and blow away. How many know that God is the master gardener? And he knows what is right for our lives, what's going to make us bear fruit. Hallelujah. The times are in God's hands, so we have to trust him and rest in him. He's not going to forget you. Hallelujah. You know, the children of Israel, again, it's the best example in Scripture, is they got offended at God. And in Psalm 78, and it talks about how God, in verse 16, gave them streams from the rock. He made flowing, you know, waters flow down like a river. But it says, even though God was taking care of them, they kept on sinning against Him. Why? Because in verse 18, it says, they stubbornly tested God in their hearts, demanding the foods they craved. Here it is. See, they're saying, God, what You have allowed in my life is not up to my standard. It's not okay. I don't like this cup that You give me to drink. I basically don't trust Your judgment in my life because You've allowed something to happen to me that I don't agree with or that I don't understand. And if I don't really know the heart of God, I can get mad at God because I will think that God's being mean. And you see how the devil sometimes even interferes in our lives, doesn't he? He does something to people and then he says it's God's fault. The Lord is worthy of our praise. He's a good God. He's a good Father to His children. And because He's a Father, He has to discipline us. But His discipline is always for the purpose of redemption, of producing good fruit in our lives, bringing us to maturity so we become spiritual adults. Amen? And we can reproduce. They were offended because God didn't do things for them the way they expected. They wanted it all now. Is one of this, give it all to me right now, God. I don't want to have to go through anything. I don't want to have to endure anything. I want it right now. How many here have ever gotten ahead of God because you want it right now? But your character is not ready for what you think you want right now. So God has to take us through and back us down and take us down a few notches until we are conditioned and we get enough root base going on, amen, so that when you get into the thing that God eventually will bring you into, you're not going to get blown away by it, but you're going to have enough root to sustain you in that. So God will bring sandpaper people around us or bring situations, put you in places where you wouldn't want to be, but God's going to condition you through that. He's going to prepare you through that for what He has up ahead. So this is where we have to say, okay, Lord, thank You that You're working all things together. Romans 8:28, for the good to them that love the Lord and are called according to His purpose. I don't know about you, but I rest on that scripture all the time. I do, because it is a promise that God's going to work it together. God did take care of them. They thought, well, God's not taking care of us. Well, He did. He provided shoes and clothes that didn't wear out. He gave them manna, right? Angels' food, water from the rock. And most importantly, are you ready for this? What was the most important thing that God provided? His presence. The cloud of glory, amen? God, His presence was with them. That's all they needed to know. That God is with me. That's all that matters. God is with me and God is for me and God is leading me somewhere. He's taking me through a process right now because He has something glorious up ahead. And if I can stop complaining and get into rest and just accept that God knows what He's doing in my life, and if I behave myself and be good, a good steward over this situation, that God will promote me and advance me in the kingdom. How many know we don't need crybabies in high political office? Well, we've got a couple. We've got children in high places now who are not material for that. They're not conditioned. They don't have the character for that kind of thing, that kind of office. But when it comes to the kingdom, God is the one that promotes. God is the one who advances. Amen. People can, you can, how many have tried to advance yourself? I have. You walk away from that situation with your tail between your legs because you weren't waiting on God. You went off on your own. How many here have ever done something and decided to do something and then later asked God to bless it? You didn't ask God first. You just thought, I want to do this, and now, God, I want Your blessing on this. We have to learn, don't we? In all Your ways, acknowledge Him. He'll direct your path. Everything you do, ask Him, Lord, what about this? And if you don't get an answer, don't move until you get confirmation. Wait on Him. He'll say, now's the time. Move. Hallelujah. God gives you visions. God gives you desires. And they could be very much from Him. But you've got to wait on His timing. You've got to wait until you're ready for that thing to come to full fruition. Amen? So God is working in your life. God's given you some things that you need to overcome right now. God's been speaking to you about certain things that you need to tackle. There's some giants that are standing in your way between you and your breakthrough. And you have to learn how, like David did, to use the weapons of your warfare, amen, to defeat these giants that are standing in your way. You're going to have to deal with that thing and quit coddling it and quit trying to work alongside of it and say, no, this has to go. It's standing between me and the promise of God. It's standing between me and peace in my heart. So, we need to wait on God. Trust Him. Know that He's going to work it out. And in the meantime, guard your heart. Amen. Guard your lips. Be careful, little mouth, what you say. Amen. For the Father up above is looking down in love. But He listens. You want good to come your way? Start aligning your conversation with the truth. Speak the truth in love. Amen. And quit lending yourself to the complainer, to the enemy. Because God's not going to advance you and I or move us forward until we learn how to first take control of ourselves and our actions. A child growing up in the natural has to learn how to discipline themselves. And a good parent will discipline that child because disciplining that child teaches that child self-discipline. And then when they learn self-discipline, then they can be entrusted with more responsibility. Likewise, in the kingdom, God wants us to grow to maturity. So wherever you find yourself today, keep your hand to the plow. Don't look back. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Amen. When you find yourself in a place you've never been before, how many would be honest today and say, you know, I'm in a place right now in my life I've never been before? Yeah? See that? I mean, you know, that's not a bad thing. Because God is transitioning you. God is moving you. God is working in that. God is getting you ready. He's conditioning you for what He has up ahead. And He wants to know that He has a user-friendly vessel. He wants to know He has somebody that's not going to fall apart under a little pressure. This one more, right? Everybody say, in all things, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. In all things, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Hallelujah. Good advice, right? That's right from the Word of God. Hallelujah. Father, we thank You today for everybody and for the work You're doing in our hearts and our lives. And for Your promises, Lord, and Your faithfulness. Every morning, God, Your mercies are new. And You're with us, Lord. Thank You, God. I just pray, Father, You continue to guide our steps day by day. Watch over, guard our hearts, guard our minds. Lord, draw us in to rest. Draw us into Your peace, into Your shalom, Your perfect wholeness. As a people, God, we say, God, we want to grow. We want to advance. We want to bear fruit. We want to glorify You. And we want to hear You say, well done, my good and faithful servant. So, Lord, whatever You got to do, prepare us, Lord. We know that we're in training for reigning. So here we are, God. Do you want God to have His way in your life? Are you willing to cooperate with Him today? If you say yes, I want you to lift up your hands right now to Him and say, God, I surrender my life to You. I give You my life. Hallelujah. And Lord, I ask You to do Your good work in me. Bring me where I need to go. Fill me with the knowledge of the will of God in Christ and the ability to do it. In Jesus' name. Amen.